The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
It is indeed time to go drag racing. I'm Jack Smith. Stevie LeTemp, how are we doing tonight? Straight lining with Stevie.
Hey, guy, I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
All right.
A great weekend, and I'm ready to go drag racing.
Yeah, and now, of course, our first half hour of this show, we cover the four-wheelers. And what do you have lined up here tonight? We have a lady, it seems.
I have a young lady who will become one of the legends in drag racing. She's already on her way. Lori Canister will be on. And I'm telling you, what a super, super, super person. And along with Lori this evening, we're going back to a guy that's probably already a legend. In fact, he's quite a character, and that's Clay Milligan, six-time IHRA world champion. Well, Clay Milligan will be on tonight with us as well. And we go into the Harley show. Got Richard Gladson will be on. And Richard, somewhat new, I guess you might say, because when I talked to him, he was real shy about coming on. Now, listen, you better get used to it. You just set a new national record, you know. So
yeah.
Talk about him.
Yeah, he won't be shy for long.
No. In fact, I think we'll get him to come out of that shell real quick. And, of course, Kevin Winters, who won the Pingo Enterprises Super Eliminator class at the Jim McClure Nationals, and that's a 1090, an index class, and we'll talk about that. He's fresh off a win from a Virginia Motorsports Park. So it's going to be an exciting night.
What now, you had something different that we're doing next week?
Oh, yes, you're right. Yeah, next week we're going to go up to Jefferson Pageland Drag Strip, 8th Mile Track, and we're going to go back to grassroots drag racing. This is something that's starting to catch on, and Jefferson Page is going to try this for the very first time. We're having a stock, super stock combo race. And the stocker, super stock guys, this is grassroots drag racing. But this, believe me, so many of the drag races you watch, you know, you don't see the wheels in the air anymore in the wild burnouts and stuff. Well, trust me, it's time to get back to the old days. There's nothing like stock, super stock combos. If you like to see cars that set their wheels up on top of the kitchen table when they leave the line, then that's what you want to come watch, is the stock, super stock combo. And we're going to be doing this down in Division Number 9 down in the Carolinas. And I don't have to tell you, for those of you who race on the East Coast, this is the hotbed for stock super stockers. There are more national record holders and world champions and division champions than you can shake a stick at, and they will be rolling in there. It's going to be really interesting to see how many come. This is the very first one they're going to do. So we'll see just how that one comes out. We're also going to talk with the track owner as well and get his views on it, see how he thinks it went. And then we'll have an interview with two of the stock, super stock combo racers as well. So it's going to be a pretty cool show when it comes to the four-wheelers.
Go ahead.
On the motorcycles for next week, I'm still working on that. And a lot of the guys that are out there listening right now, if you've got something that you want to say, you think you need to be on the show, you give me a call. You know, you can go to my my internet site, and you can reach me at www.sletempt@sc.rr.com, or you can get me on the All Harley Drag Racing site. You can go in there, and I always have posts on there. In fact, I have one on there right now. You can just click that post, and you can put me some message in there if you would like. I always read my All Harley Drag Racing site. I'm on that baby probably twice, three times a day. So if you guys got some good stories for me, hey, I'm all ears, guys. I want to hear about you, because that's what this is all about, drag racing. For the All Harley Drag Racing Association, it's all about you and the guys from IHRA, NHRA, especially the sportsman guys. We're going to see some pros tonight, the sportsman guys. I'm extremely, extremely wanting to hear more about, you know, about you guys as well. And I'm a grassroots guy myself.
I was going to say, too, Stevie, you can simply send an email to feedback@realracingusa.com, and it will come. It go to the, especially if you go to the All Harley drag page or the drag racing page, Straight Lining with Stevie. page on All Real Racing USA. You click on that link, it'll send it right to Stevie and I. And if you have questions about that you want to ask Stevie, or you want to be a guest on the show, or just anything, feedback at realracingusa.com.
Also, don't forget to remind them, too. If you guys got press releases, send them. If you've got pictures, send them. By golly, it don't cost a dime, and we're more than happy. You know, I want to make you a star, and to do it, I got to know about you. I got to have pictures. I need to find press releases, find information about you. It's oh so important, and it's all free. So please take advantage of it, guys. You know, you've got our address. You know where we're at, and you know we're on the air every Wednesday night now, a one-hour show. So we stepped up the pace and doubled our show. So things are going great with us, and we wanted to go great with you.
All right, Steve, let's take a quick break, and we'll hook up with come back with Lori Canister.
Absolutely.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to go The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Yeah, Doug Rose, he's quite a character. Stevie, we're back here with Straight Line with Stevie. I'm Jack Smith, Stevie LeTemp, and I do believe we have Lori Canister hooked up on the line with us, Stevie.
Well, we sure do. I'll tell you what, we've got a young lady here that is truly one of the forces and will become a force for years and years to come when it comes to alcohol funny car. Lori, how you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. This is really great. It's been a long time since I've done this, so bear with me.
No problem there. You talked about a long time. It has been a few years. I looked here at some of the stats on you, and this is your first win since 2002.
Yeah, and it's actually at the same racetrack, too. So it's been exactly 5 years since I have won anything. So it was really cool to go back there again. And actually, that racetrack, we were there, including this year, it was the fifth time I had been there, and we won there four of the five times. So pretty special to us.
So that track has been extremely good luck for you.
Yes, it has.
Well, I will say this, what better way to get started back with IHRA again than, of course, one of your favorite tracks? Now, this is a team that you're going to be driving for, and I really don't know much about Kevin and Wendy Sims. Can you give me a little background on the car owners and just tell me about this funny car team?
Well, Kevin and Wendy Sims are the two people that actually purchased my funny car when I was done in 2002. They have a product called Cowbones Grilling Sauce, and actually Ronnie Midget was driving for them for a while, and they were using my funny car as a show car to put on display as they're, you know, trying to market their product, and they ended up parting ways with Ronnie Midget for a time, and parked the car and didn't do anything. And then actually 3 weeks ago, I guess it's 3 weeks ago now, they were talking between themselves and decided they wanted to go back drag racing, and remembered that when I had left the car at their driveway, I said, if you ever need somebody to drive this car, please call me. And that's how it happened. I mean, literally 3 weeks ago. And they brought the car up to our house, and we went through it, got it all prepped, all ready to go, and my husband took it down to a bare chassis, tore everything apart, and we put it all back together in a week, and then took it down to Bud's Creek, and the rest is history.
I'll tell you about history. How about a 578, 245-mile-an-hour? Welcome back to IHRA Drag Racing.
Wow. It's coming back fast.
Oh, my.
That was awesome, because I had not been any faster than 577 in a funny car ever. So to come out with, and being my old car, I felt quite at home inside there. So that was comfortable, but just to think that we could come out and even qualify was probably more than what we thought. And then to actually go out and run 4 passes in the 70s and then win the event, it was just unbelievable.
Well, you know, you talk about running 570s. It's like you never left. It's like you just kind of picked up where you left off and just kept right on going. And to run a string of 570s, and it didn't matter whether it was day or night, what the temperature was, humidity was, barometric pressure, nothing. This thing just steadily kept laying out those 570 numbers run after run. So a lot of credit goes there to that guy that does the tuning on it.
Well, yeah, which is my husband. This is his debut as a tuner, if you want to say it that way. You know, he was always the assistant to Jeff Fowler when we were racing before. And, you know, all the years under him, and as much as he's learned, this is like his chance to shine. And he certainly was shining this past weekend. I mean, it was just incredible what he did and what he made that car do for me, that, you know, between the tune-up and me being able to do my job, it was just flawless. I mean, it was pretty incredible. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but you know, I really appreciate the opportunity that the Sims are giving me to get back in my car and get back out there and have a blast with all the people that we've stayed friends with all through these last 5 years. And even, you know, keeping the friendship alive, I've had a friend in Mark Adelizzi at Flat Out Gaskets who is coming with us and into this new venture, which is going to pan out through 2008. And so we're going to have support from Flat Out Gaskets also. And he stuck with me in all the other racing I had done in the past. And here he's still going to stick with us into next year. So we're really looking forward to it. I've got a whole new crew to get all of us to get acclimated to each other, which it seemed to work out pretty well this weekend. And my dad's even going to come back and help us out. So he's been dying to get back out there just as much as we have, and I'm just really excited that he's still of good health enough to come along, because he's my oil man, my cleaning man, and my tire man. So I always know that I'm ready to go when my dad's there.
You work your dad pretty hard, it sounds like to me.
My dad works himself too hard. I mean, the rest of us could be done for the night, and he is still cleaning the pit area. So, actually, people are pretty jealous when he's around, because they wish they had somebody that worked as hard as he does.
Well, let me ask you a question one time. And a lot of the racers out there were probably wondering this as well. When you get into a funny car and you drop the body down on you, the vision is absolutely terrible, and you have a Lexon windshield on there, and at night there's a lot of glare and a lot of reflection and stuff on it. How is it for you as a driver, what do you feel when you bump up to the first beam? What do you think of as far as how do you visualize yourself going down the track? And what type of things do you see and feel as you go down, you know, to the quarter mile?
Well, the first thing you have to do actually when you go up there is to empty your head. You can't be worrying about anything else but your job. And going into the beams, it's just solid concentration on what you're doing, because in a funny car you have so much to do with having the throttle partway down, trying to work the clutch and holding the brake and try to bump yourself in that way, and then you have to let go of the brake, push down the gas, let go of the clutch, all at the same time, at the right time, I should say. It all has to happen at the same time, or everything goes wrong. As far as the body coming down, when they first put the body down on you, it's actually, to me, a lot more places to see than it was when I was in my dragster. My dragster was serious tunnel vision. I didn't have any side vision at all. It was only out to the front wheels and beyond. I couldn't see anything next to me. When I got in a funny car, I was like, this is a whole different world. I can see a lot of the racetrack. Don't know that I want to, but I can see a lot more of the racetrack. That does not bother me. Everybody thinks it would be claustrophobic, where to me, it's actually way more room than I was ever used to. And going down the racetrack, you're just concentrating on hitting the shift when the light comes on, keeping your eyes to the very end of the racetrack, which is what makes you drive straight down the groove. You know, as soon as you start looking other places, you can start driving around, and that could be dangerous.
So
that's about it.
Well, that's interesting. I never really thought much about the concentrating on the very end of the drag strip is to use as a focus point to keep the car straight.
That's exactly what you need to do. You have to look for the horizon out there, because you get in trouble if you look over the nose of the car and you start driving around.
Well, so I'm excited for you. And that's some interesting input there. Now, I've often wondered, I sat in some already, never ever drove one, and whenever the top came down, I thought, holy cow, I'm so used to a regular door slammer, and suddenly, oh my gosh, this body's down on you, and basically, you say there's a lot to see. Well, I'm not quite sure. It must have been really bad in the dragster, because what about glare and reflection off the Lexan?
Yeah, well, the Lexan windshield, a lot of them, if they're new enough, it's no different than looking out any other windshield. It really isn't. I'm actually getting a new windshield for this car because it is kind of old and it's time to be replaced, so I'll even be able to see more. So, but for the most part, the Lexan is not a big deal to look through. We're all used to it because all the cars have them. So it's just something that it's not even thought about. So it's interesting to hear you think that might be an issue to look through, but it really isn't.
Well, the reason I say that, and in fact, Jack, visualize this one time, Jack. You're going 240 mile an hour. This body's shaking. The car is just, you're squeezing the butterfly with everything you've got. And the lights are every so many feet down the track, so as you're going down, it's bright dark, bright dark, bright dark. And if it has any type of scratches or anything from cleaning it off, you know that it'll leave like this, these little mini lines going across there, and the reflection seems like it fans out. And I just can't imagine that you actually feel that you're that comfortable with it. But I guess you have to be, the reality of it is.
Stevie, that just gives you that puts a point on what these folks do, man. Like people like Lori and these guys that go out and do this on a weekend, man. When you go on 4 and 5 seconds down a track like that, you're asking me to visualize something that I couldn't even begin to visualize. It's awesome, man. It's really, really cool. And as I said, you're marveling over it.
And when the funny cars leave, not just Lori, but all of them, it's like the earth shakes. And
that's right.
Believe me, these funny cars leave, they're violent.
It's very violent.
They're very violent. And Lori's sitting inside this thing. It's like sitting inside of a stick of dynamite, and you're shaking it. And
It is. It's 3.5 G's, which, you know, I understand you're having Clay come on after me, which is, mm-hmm. is my mentor and my favorite driver of all time. He's done wonders for me as a driver. And he feels way more G-force than I do. So, and it's quite a wake-up call when you leave the starting line, and it just keeps pulling and pulling and pulling, and out the back door you go. I mean, it's just...
if your head isn't empty, Lori, if your head isn't empty when you get up there, it will be shortly, right?
That's right. Well, you really have to concentrate in these cars because they can definitely hurt you, you know, and you have to respect them, and you just have to pay attention to what you're doing, and that's what I try to do, and try to do the best I can, because I have always been determined to be the one that don't ever want to hear somebody say I don't belong there, because I really love doing it. I love the people that are involved with it. It's all one big family, and I'm so glad to be back in the family.
Well, I will tell you this. There were 7 guys at the last track said that you didn't belong there.
No, I bet if you asked them, they would not say that.
Yeah.
They actually came up to me. I'd have to say just about every one of them came up and welcomed me back, which was really pretty cool.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's great.
Lori, thank you so much for coming on this evening. And ladies and gentlemen, Lori Canister is back.
Guys.
Thanks, Lori.
Going to be here all through 2008, new sponsor. And I'm telling you guys, look for some serious, serious numbers out of this gal. And look out, because without a doubt, there will be a new contender in town going for the world championship. Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you, guys. Let me know anytime. I'll be glad to come on.
Thanks, Lori.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye.
She came back ready, Stevie.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Right.
I've watched her run in the dragster, and I've watched her run the funny car, and I thought, this gal, she's a natural. She can drive anything. If it's got wheels on it, I don't care if it's a bicycle. You know, she set a record with a bike. It doesn't matter. Whatever she has, she's just a natural competitor.
So we're going over to Top Fuel now.
Yeah, we talk about natural competitors. This guy, not only is he a natural competitor, but he's a character too. And like I say, Lori Canister made the comment that he's her hero. And he's a lot of people's hero. It'd be Clay Milligan. I'm really looking forward to talking to him myself.
All right, we'll be right back with Clay.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stub. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stub?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
All right, Stevie, we're back here. We had a little bit of problem there trying to hook up with Clay Milliken this evening. We'll try that here in a little bit. Now, let's go back over. What are we doing next week? We have a special deal next week?
Well, now, coming up next week, once again, I mentioned earlier, we're going into a stock superstock combo, which is something kind of grassroots, I guess you might say, because the stockers really are grassroots and superstock. So, and it's always a pleasure to go back to my roots, and that's what I'll be doing this weekend when I go into Jefferson Page and Drag Strip.
Recording has stopped. You have reached the recording limit.
Oops, what was that?
Well, I don't know. Something about a recording.
To record some more, press 5. To review your message, press 2.
Wow, that was weird.
Good. I'll say one thing. Ladies and gentlemen, without a doubt.
Live.
This is live radio.
That's right. Real Racing USA Live. We were trying to hook up with Clay Milliken, and I think we were inadvertently still hooked up to his machine or something.
Yeah.
But
well, we're talking about stock superstock combo coming up in Jefferson Pageland, and I'm really looking forward to that. I think one of the things kind of neat about it is I know all these guys. These have been my friends forever, and so it's going to be a lot of fun just being with them. And I get a chance to go into Jefferson Page and Drag Strip. And we're going to talk with the track owner as well. And it's the first time for him. He's going to try this stock superstock combo and just see how the fans respond to it. And I think they're going to love it, because when you go to one of these stock superstock deals, as I said it before, when they leave the line, I'm telling you, there'll be a stack of them that'll literally put their front wheels on your kitchen table. They just flat come out of the hole. It's old time drag racing and a lot of fun, and they're fast as well too. Eighth mile, short track, lots of action. Believe me, if you win in the eighth mile, the driver wins that race. Many of the cars are so much. The dollar figure is different on different cars. Some guys have unlimited funds.
Right.
Some guys are on a budget. But when you race eighth mile, you're pretty well on the same plane no matter what, because cubic dollars, to my way of looking at it, wins the second half of the track. That first 660 feet, that's driver.
Oh, okay.
Raw skill, leaving the lights. The Christmas tree is a major factor. You talk about guys that can rip the green tint right off the bulb. These are the guys. The guys that flash double O, triple O reaction times. And I'm telling you, the wheels will be up 2 and 3 foot in the air. Some of them, in fact, Mike Petrie, speaking of stockers, a very good friend of mine, and races in IHRA, and he has a crate motor Camaro. There was a picture of him on a drag review to where his bumper was scraping at Rockingham, and he never lifted. He took this thing, stood it up on the bumper, set it back down, and went out and was running roughly 2/10 off the national record. You know, what can I say? You talk about action-packed racing, Mike's going to be there, and a bunch of other cars just like him. Now, I can't guarantee he's going to rip the chrome off the bumper for you, but trust me, if there's a trash can around, he'll miss it. Them tires are cleared in a heartbeat. So lots of really great action coming up at Jefferson Pageland.
And we'll
coming up next week.
Yeah, we'll be covering that next week. I tell you what, Stevie, let's go back to the – we'll take a quick break here, come back, and if we don't have Clay Milliken with us, we will have some all Harley drag racers to talk to.
Absolutely. We'll jump on two wheels and ride.
Be right back.
Presentation of Real Racing USA. The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
You know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stuff Master, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from The Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman. On the web at TheBrakeman.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Oh, the beauty of live radio. This is Jack Smith, Real Racing USA, and Stevie LeTemps, Straight Lining with Stevie every Wednesday night. Stevie, we're hooked up with Kevin Winters.
Well, Kevin, I've got you on the other line right now. And Kevin, a little background on Kevin here. Just one of the main reasons that I wanted to talk with him this evening is he competes in a class called Pingo Enterprises Super Eliminator. And it's a 1090 index class. And this past, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I won the Jim McClure Nationals presented by Colonial Harley-Davidson at Virginia Motorsports Park. And that was quite a feat, and that's a very prestigious race. And Kevin, tell me about how was the race? How did it go for you? What did you have any problems that weekend, or just how did the race go for you? I know you won it, but was there anything happening in between?
Well, we had to overcome quite a few problems, actually. We had an exhaust crack and break off, and actually I ran over the muffler part of it. I flattened that. Luckily, it didn't wreck. That was,
gotta ask, how fast were you going when you ran over that?
About 115, probably. It was at the top end of the track. So,
oh, my God.
And then the trans was giving me a few issues here and there, but we made it through the day, and we got the win. So that's all that mattered to me.
Well, Kevin, you said at 115-mile-an-hour, you ran over part of your exhaust.
Yeah.
You don't have but two wheels, and you just launched that back when you had to launch that back when somewhat, I mean, you went over it.
I felt a big bump, but I didn't know what it was. No.
Really?
Yeah.
So as far as handling on the bike, the ride was still straight?
Yeah, it was still there. I just felt it kind of like jumped, kind of big bump, and that was it.
Was it something just came loose, or?
It cracked, actually. Oh, it cracked and broke.
Broke.
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't happen very often.
No, no.
Well, you were a pretty lucky guy on that one, and at the speed you guys run.
Yep.
How long have you been? How long have you been riding?
4 years.
4 years. All Harley?
Yeah.
4 years.
Yep. I started on a shovel head at my local track, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin, and then did that for part of a season. Broke a lot of stuff, and then I bought my Buell and started on that. And I actually won a track championship up there, but that was a local deal. So I wanted to race with the best, and that's why I ended up with the HDRA.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about racing with the best. You are one of the best, and the competition is pretty darn tough. Reaction time wise, what type of reaction times were you having this weekend?
In the 20s mostly. I had an 0-24 against Nate Carenhan. I had an 0-41 in the final against Jimmy McMillan. I'm pretty consistent on reaction time. You got to stay focused. That's the biggest thing. My wife helps me with that more than anybody. She keeps me focused on what I'm doing, so I don't lose track.
You know, I hear that a lot in the All Harley Drag Racing Association. I see it's husband and wife teams, and the wives are perhaps a lot more important to the team effort than most people would think. These gals do it all, from doing the tune-ups to keeping constant check of the air to basically looking over the bike constantly. And also, on the line, they study that bike as it goes down the track. And their knowledge of what they saw, and when they sit down with their husbands and they talk about just what they saw going down the track and so on, is what makes the decisions as to just what they do for the next round. And I've been pretty impressed with a lot of these young ladies that come out there. And apparently your wife is one of those young ladies that has got her act together, because, by golly, she got you through that race, didn't she?
Yes, she did. She's there for me just about every race, and she keeps me focused. I mean, she takes care of everything aside of the racing, and I just go out there and do my thing. So she's definitely somebody I'm glad to have with me and be with. So,
well, let me ask you this. Do you travel the circuit all the way, or how far do you travel?
I've run 10 races usually, enough to get the full points. And I haven't run Seattle, I haven't run Oregon, and I didn't run Phoenix. I will run Pomona, and I will run Las Vegas.
Are going to Pomona in Vegas then. Have you ever run Pomona before?
No.
So that should be an interesting race then for you out there.
Yeah, this will be my third year for Vegas.
All right. A little bit about Vegas. A lot of the guys on the East Coast here maybe have never made the ride out there. How is that facility out there? Is there any pluses or minuses that stand out to you?
It's an awesome facility. The elevation is what kills you. It's very tough to tame because of the elevation. The air is just very poor out there. Like my 1090 class, my bike probably won't run that 1090 number out there because the elevation is just that bad and the air is that bad.
So but the altitude really takes the power away from those 1090 bikes then, big time, huh?
It takes the power away from anything out there. Anything that's naturally aspirated, I would believe.
I have a hard time, you know, Las Vegas, I don't think of that as being very high. Any idea what the altitude is out there?
I believe the track says it's 2,200 feet.
Really?
Yep.
bus. For some reason, you know, because it's desert climate, you just don't think of, you know, being 2,000-3,000 feet high. Everything's so flat, but I guess that is the way it is out there. So that's something I'll be announcing that race. That's something I'll keep an eye on, that watching the bikes and how they react out there. So, but the only guys that can override that probably are the guys using nitro.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Big nitromethane, nothing seems to affect it.
Right. I also run ET and SEP, and I should be very good for both of those classes. But the 1090 class, I think I'm going to struggle a little bit with that.
Where are you at in the point standing? I can say you're competing in three classes. Has this been a good year for you? Not sure this last win, you know, made you shine, but how have you been doing for the whole season? You got three classes. Tell us just how you've been in each one of these classes.
It's actually been an excellent year for me. I can't complain. I've got two wins this year. My first win came in Norwalk, Ohio. My second win, obviously, in Richmond, Virginia. I've only been racing the full circuit. This is my second year, so, I mean, to get two wins and that little of time, I think I'm doing great. So I'm sixth in SC points, seventh in SCP, and seventh in ET. I fell a little bit because the guys obviously go out to Oregon and Seattle and stuff, and they gain on me. So
you're setting, you know, in the top ten, just about in the middle, with these last two races going. Is there a chance that you can pull up to that number one spot?
Probably not, to be real, but top five is what I'm looking for. If I can break into the top five, I'll be satisfied. Next year, we're really going to run for a championship.
Well, you know, the top five, to be honest with you, if you make the top ten, it's an honor.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's tough, but to set your sights on the top five is a definite, I think, a reachable goal for you, of all people, and from what I've seen so far. And it's not that easy, though. It is a tough thing to do. I've seen the competitiveness of all these classes. Sportsman guys, just, you know, they're incredible. They're super, super tough.
And yeah, absolutely.
So you earn your keep when you get in that top five.
Yes,
well,
you do.
So next year you are going to go for the championship then. Run the
I'm going to give it my best. We'll see.
In all three classes?
Well, whichever
one in particular you want to settle on.
Either SCP or SC. Those are the two main classes. SC is actually a new class for me this year. I ran just ET and SCP last year, and I did some modifications to the bike in the off season, and I was able to run the 1090 SC class this year. So, but SCP and SC are the two I'm probably going to go for. But you never know. I mean, if I'm doing real good in ET, hey, you know, whatever one looks the best is what I'm really focused on, where I'm doing. You know.
Well, Kevin, let me ask you this: what have you done to the motor to develop this type of power out of it?
Just basic bolt-ons. I don't really have any big stuff into the motor. I mean, the biggest thing that really did it for me this last off-season was my chassis. I had the chassis done by Miller Motors. Dale Miller took really good care of me, and he's the whole reason why I'm doing so well this year. He gave me a bike that performed just awesome. So
that's an interesting statement. The motor wasn't the problem. It was actually the chassis that got you there.
And I had the power. It was the chassis. So it wasn't stretched or anything like that. It was a stock chassis Buell, and anybody knows a stock chassis Buell, they're tough to ride.
Well, you seem to have found the magic spot on it, especially just a couple weeks ago up here at the Jim McClure Nationals, because you just rolled right through the field, right into the winner's circle. Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. Absolutely, I enjoyed talking with you. And once again, every time I talk with one of these riders, I learn. It was definitely a pleasure talking with you, and I guess I'm going to see you at the next race. You're going to be down at Rockingham?
Yes, I will.
Absolutely. By golly, well, you need to come up to the tower and holler at me.
Oh, I will. I will.
Talk with you a little bit, and who knows? I just may be talking to you in the winner's circle one more time.
We hope to, hopefully.
Okay, thanks for coming on, Kevin. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, Steve.
Absolutely. Kevin Winters, what can I say? He is a winner, and no doubt about it.
All right, Stevie, that's pretty so he's going to step it up next year.
Well, he's staying in the same three classes, but he's going to put the I guess the extra bucks in it requires, and does require a lot of money to run these classes. And he's going to do more traveling, and I'm sure over the winter months these bikes are coming down, and there'll be some serious work done to them and get them dialed in. And Like he said, the secret to his 1090 class wasn't the motor. He's got power. It was the chassis. And when you have a set number that you've got to hit, that makes sense. The chassis has to work. You've got to be able to be consistent, not just fast.
Well, Stevie, you know, we've had a little problem getting a hold of Clay Milliken and also Richard Gladson. So, you know, the beauty of live radio is, you know, sometimes you just have to go off somewhere you didn't really want to go or plan to go or mean to go. So let me ask you this now. How did you, you're on, the spotlight is now on Stevie LaTemp, Straight Liner with Stevie. How did you get in this crazy mixed up world of motorsports media?
Oh, the media.
Well, I mean, that's what you do. You're an announcer. You write. You do all this stuff, you know, and you help promote the motorsports. So, I mean, just how did you get involved in it?
When I was still competing yet, I worked for a Top Fuel team, Romine and Harris. And it was a CarQuest Top Fuel team. And I was a diver. I was a guy who did the bottom ends. And in 1997, I had the honor of working with one of the best teams probably that was ever organized. And we won the world championship in Top Fuel. Well, after that happened, I said, you know, I've done it all. My gosh, I can't believe I actually did this, you know. And in fact, I have a big picture of Paul Romine on one side, Clayton Harris on the other side, and I'm holding that trophy. Boy, I can't tell you, that was worth all the blood and the sweat and the late nights and losing sleep. That picture means more to me than money or could ever mean. So I said, I told my wife that, darling, I'm coming home. That's it. I've done more than I ever deserved to have the opportunity to do. And she just kind of smiled and said, Stevie, if you want to come back, that's fine. And don't want to go on the road anymore, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. And I sensed she didn't believe me. But, you know, for 6 weeks, I went cold turkey without going to a single drag race. 6 weeks. And then this man by the name of Bill Bader called me up at my auto parts store one day. And it's amazing. All he said was, Stevie, this is Bill. Do you want a job? And I said, yes. He told me, he said, see me Thursday at Rockingham, 1 o'clock. And hung the phone up. And the next thing you know, I was going to work for IHRA. And I remember turning around looking at my Rita. And my Rita says, who was that? And I said, it was Bill Bader. And with the gentleman, I'd only met him probably maybe a half dozen times before. I had a tremendous amount of respect for him. And she said, so when do you start? And that's exactly how it got started. I went up there the following week on a Thursday, and Bill and I sat down and talked, and he put me out on the starting line, and where I wore the red blazer and the white pants with the red stripe, and I was staging Steve, and ran the lanes and everything. And then one night, it was at MIR, in fact, the race was just over this past weekend. I'm going to tell you anyway. I caught Bill Bader breaking into the icebox at a hotel trying to get donuts at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he said, if you don't tell anybody, I'll share these donuts with you. So we sat down at a table about 2:30 in the morning with some donuts, which we illegally obtained from an 8 days in or something like that. And I don't remember exactly him. But he looked at me and he said, Steve, I like your voice. He says, and I listen to you. Because I used to sing to my guys over the headset all the time. Used to drive them nuts.
And, right.
So he said, would you like to be an announcer? And I said, well, I never really thought about it. And he says, good. Now you're gonna be an announcer. So the decision wasn't made by me. It was made by Bill. He called up Darlington Dragway, and there was a man at the time that ran it. He passed away since. His name was Darlington Dave. And he told Darlington Dave, you make him an announcer. He said, you've got the winner. He better be ready to go for the Winter Nationals. When he comes out, I expect a full-blown announcer ready to go. And Dave was just like, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, what's the deal? So Dave Johnson, just a really great guy, worked with me and showed me the ropes and so on. And next thing you know, I'm announcing at IHRA. And it's just kind of growed from there. It's just gone on and on and on. I would say probably one of the things that helped me was the fact that having been into sport all my life,
right,
and I knew all the racers,
right,
and I was able to talk about things that were happening. I would see things that were happening, and I would explain things, you know, perhaps more in detail and stuff, which is one of the things that Bill did want to emphasize. He said, I don't care what their ET, I don't care what their mile per hour was. He says, your job, Stevie, is to make every single one of those guys stars. He says, I want stories about those guys. I don't want numbers. And so you got to throw a few numbers in, which is understandable. But there again, the stories. And the stories are so great, which is exactly one of the reasons I have this show here.
You understand the technical side of things, too, as far as motors and things like that.
Yeah, I was a machinist along with, I have a Carquest auto parts store, and at the time I had a six-bay garage, and I had a full-blown machine shop, and I did cylinder head work, I did porting, all this kind of stuff, you know. And so, yeah, I have the background on it, and that's a major help on it. And I also have the love, and I have the passion. And I feel that love and that passion from the other racers as well. I probably more than anybody, or at least as much as anybody else, have felt the agony of defeat. You know, the thrill of victory comes very, very rare. But the agony of defeat, if you can survive that and you still do it after the agony of defeat, you are a drag racer. It's that simple.
Well, you know, that's an important little point there because in all forms of motorsports competition, most guys don't win. And I mean guys, gals, whatever. Most guys and gals don't win. You know what I mean? I would say
you probably 7 out of 10 never taste
right.
Victory.
Exactly. In all forms of motorsports, you know, I'm really heavily oriented towards stock car racing type media because, you know, that's what I do. But in all forms of motorsports, it's like, and so for these guys and the gals who go out and do it and the families who support them and keep on going, it's quite a statement to the love of doing it and the perseverance of doing it just because you love doing it, man.
Well, I have a friend by the name of Bob Voss. And Bob and I have been friends since the 60s. And Bob has always been a drag racer and just he's a good racer. And he's won at the lower levels, but when it came to the national events and stuff, if anybody felt the agony of defeat, this guy would have his act together going into a race to where you'd say, you know, watch this guy. He is ready. And something would inevitably go wrong. And I know there's guys out there that can relate to that same thing. You're like, man, this thing is right. You know, but Bobby never hung up. And many years, he and I worked together on cars. And we put these cars together, and that supercharged cars will drive you absolutely out of your mind. Blowers is something that just, they fascinate me, but they are the most unpredictable things. Just when you think you got it figured out, I'm telling you what, that thing will just flip-flop on you, and some of the slightest minor things will get you every time. And in fact, Clayton Harris, who was my hero, I guess, my mentor as well when it came to Top Fuel and superchargers and stuff, one time told me, he says, watch those clouds up overhead, Stevie. He says, carry an extra pill with you. And he says, that cloud covers that sun. He says, that's going to change your pill size, one pill size on your motor.
Wow.
And I thought, the cloud? I said, but what? He says, Stevie, I don't care what all the readings say. He says, always have that pill in your pocket. And I always remembered that. And, you know, there were times I changed that pill, just like he said. So, yeah, it's quite quite an experience, and there's a lot of guys, you know, and there's times that even though you change the pill, you run better than you thought you were going to run, but it wasn't good enough because the guy in the other lane was just a thousandth or so faster. I have seen it so many times. You stand on the starting line, you watch two of them going down the track, and they are just dead on. I mean, just shaking and baking, and the wind light comes on in the opposite lane, and But the joy is, you can truthfully say, this thing ran the best I could make it run. You know, we just got to figure out how to go faster next time.
Well, you know, and another thing, too, maybe you could touch on is, you know, with drag racing, I mean, in all forms of motorsports, preparation, in any kind of sports at all, preparation and planning and practice is very, very important. But in motorsport, in drag racing, man, you practice, plan, do all this stuff, you prepare, and it's all over really quick.
Oh, it's a matter of seconds. What took you days, sometimes weeks to prepare for, is over in a flash.
No time in 5 seconds to change the plan.
No, it's when you bump into that first pre-stage ball, you got time to say one Hail Mary because that tree's getting ready to come down.
Yeah, there's. I don't think there's anything that quite compares to that in terms of laying it all on the line and all the planning and preparation just coming down to a few seconds of performance.
You know, one advantage, Jack, that the guys that run the circle tracks have is that in many cases, if there's a problem, they're able to correct it. And in many cases, the driver has more say in what the vehicle is going to do because you have so many laps. And there's times that you can make up a tenth or two tenths every lap.
Sure, you go out to
get back up.
Absolutely.
As soon as you're behind, it's over. I mean, occasionally you'll see somebody come back around on the top end, but it doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Usually, if whoever is on that tree leaves first, it's the old story. Clayton Harris always used to tell me, he says, "Stevie, he who leaves first is winning until the other man passes him." So is that Christmas tree is the most important thing that you've got to deal with, because you've got to go by the tree first before you get to that finish line. And in fact, many of the teams have Christmas trees set up in their trailers, and they've got little handheld boxes with miniature tree setups on them where they can sit there and practice the lights. And a driver has a lot of preparation to really do, to really make himself, you know, truly totally on his game.
Is the bikes now with the all Harley drags that you would do that announcing and you cover those guys and stuff, and is with the bikes, is the driver or the rider in the case of the bikes more important than the guy behind the wheel in the drag car?
No, I think they're equal.
Yeah. Okay.
They're different as far as, you know, But they're equal. They both have the same amount of responsibility to do their job.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you listen tonight, you know, you heard the one gentleman make the comment about how his wife takes all the load off him so that he can go up there and do his job.
Yeah.
You also heard Lori Canister make the statement, you know, she goes up there, she has to put everything out of her mind because now it's time for her to focus on her job. And when you watch them go down, you say, well, they're just riding down the track, shifting gears. It's not that way. Truly they are, but timing, the way they leave the line, just everything, where they position themselves on the bike, this is crucial. If you're too far forward, you know, well, that's going to affect the weight transfer. It's going to affect chassis, suspension, and there's a lot to riding bikes. And I'm learning about bikes. I have so much to learn because I'm relatively new to the motorcycle world and the Harley guys. I follow me a super bunch of guys. But they're very patient with me. And I found this, not just the Harley guys, but in drag racing in general, IHRA, the Harley guys, both, they all have time to take from their schedule whatever they're doing. They always have time to answer your questions and to take and make you special. They're very proud of what they do, and rightfully so. And they're more than they're excited to bring you to their pits and to say, this is my ride.
Yeah,
or this is what I drive, whether it would be rider or driver.
Well, I'll tell you what, during the 2007, we've interviewed many, many very interesting guys who and some gals, too, such as Valerie Thompson, who ride in the All Harley Drag Racing Series. And those interviews are, of course, all available in when you go to realracingusa.com and click on the drag racing page. All those interviews are available. You can listen to, and there's also some interviews in there from with some of the top drag racing car guys too. TJ Zizzo and Terry Monroe and Rob Atchison. We had those guys on earlier in the year. We had Kathy Fisher on. We had Ralph Hester, the owner of Immokalee Drag Strip, on. That was back in May. So all those interviews are available. You can go listen to them anytime, download them to your computer, put them on a disc in your iPod or whatever.
No, I agree 100%. And also, I hope that the guys send in more press releases and, of course, more pictures as well. Whether you're riding on a bike or you're driving a car, send the stuff to us. We're glad to put it up on the site for you. And you never know. Just maybe the right person will be on our site looking at that, and it could affect what you're riding on or driving next year.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, we had a little issue there with a couple of our guests tonight not being able to hook up with them, but we'll work on that for next week, and we'll have those guys back on later shows as we go along.
Absolutely, I'm going to get a hold of Clay, and heavens knows what happened, because I will tell you, the life of Clay Milligan, you don't sit at home in the easy chair and relax. This guy is on the go constantly, absolutely constantly. So I understand. And sometimes we have problems also getting through just phones, period. We'll get signals to where, you just can't get through this area for whatever reason. All the circuits are busy, which is live radio.
And next week, again, we're going to be back with what's the deal next week?
All right, we're going Superstock Stock Combo Racing, and it's going to be a Jefferson Payson drag strip. And we're going to set those front wheels up on the kitchen tables and let them ride. Return to grassroots drag racing, then. It's going to be a Jefferson Payson drag strip. We're going to talk with several of the drivers, and we're going to talk with the track owner as well. It should be very interesting to get the track owner's viewpoint on just how this class performed at this track and what he feels about it. And track owners, as you know, and promoters, will be quite frank. If they like it, they're going to tell you. And if they don't, you're going to hear it too.
Got that right.
The straight scoop, I promise you.
All right. For Jack Smith and Stage and Stevie LaTep, we'll be back next week with more Straight Lining with Stevie. Good job, man.
Thanks, Jack.